Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, I'm high, Blue Monday. Got to work, flag a sleeve on deep. Here come Tuesday.
Here come Monday on the Savage Nation. Why do morons attend the 49er games? Why do patriotic Americans go to the 49er games? Have they no idea what hatred this low-life zillionaire has for them, what contempt he has for them? They made this idiot rich, and yet he spits on their heritage and the heritage of this nation. How in the world can you not understand what I'm saying to you, how we have gone from Pat Tillman to Colin Paperneck in just one administration? From Pat Tillman, remember him? The white football player who left a lucrative career in football to volunteer for the military and gave his life for freedom in Afghanistan, to Colin Paperneck of the so-called 49ers who refuses to stand during the national anthem. It is a major story, and today we're going to talk about not only the American Cultural Revolution that was started by outright communists and flared up by the radical president Barry Obama and his minions of American haters, and now seeping down to the football field itself. And you have to ask yourself, when will we stop buying into this victimization racket? The answer is when people refuse. The day you refuse to buy into this victimization racket is the day it ends. The day you say, you know what, shove it, I don't buy it. You hate the country, then leave the country. You don't like the country, tell me what country's better. Oh, that country's better, then go move there. Simple. That's all, but you can't do it. So we're going to talk about this football player, Colin Paperneck, and what he did. You'll find out that he was born to Heidi Russo, a 19-year-old Caucasian woman who was single and destitute at the time. His birth father was an African-American who he never met. And the mom, the wonderful mom of Colin, ditched him and put him up for adoption with Rick and Teresa Kaepernick, a white couple who had two children, a son Kyle and a daughter Devin. And they wanted a boy after having lost two other sons to heart defects. So Paperneck became the youngest of their three children. Paperneck was baptized Methodist, confirmed Lutheran, and attended a Baptist church. And here's the irony of this whole thing about this anti-American football player. Paperneck has multiple tattoos. His right arm features a scroll with the Bible verse Psalm 18:39 written on it. Tattooed under the scroll are praying hands with the phrase "To God the glory" written on them. To the left of both the scroll and praying hands is the word faith. His left arm features a Christian cross with the words "Heaven sent" on it, referring to Jesus. Well, you get the picture. The picture is how we've gone from Pat Tillman hero to Colin Paperneck in just one administration. And how the NFL thinks that the people are not going to react to this is not astonishing to me. The NFL doesn't have any idea what's coming. The 49ers themselves have no idea what's coming, that they would permit this to go on. The national anthem is and always has been a special part of games in this country. It is an opportunity to honor our country and reflect on the great liberties that we are afforded as its citizens. Moreover, it's a respect for the fallen soldiers who fought and died for our freedom. And to have a major league player, who by the way is on the skids in terms of his playing abilities, do this has set off a national controversy. He hates America, then why doesn't he leave America? The answer is, well, why don't you leave America? Because I love America, that's why I don't leave America. He hates it, he ought to go where he came from. Let him move back to Wisconsin. That's not part of America anymore. It's a joke. I want to talk about that, the victimization record. I also am going to talk about the Obama movie that opened this weekend. One of the most absurd propaganda pieces ever made in the history of the presidency was produced by an unknown shill for the Obamas just in time for the election and in a time to paint a legacy that is completely false. It's some movie that they made about Obama and Michelle meeting. You can't believe this. Well, a couple of years ago, here at the Savage Nation, the thought factory of talk radio, we created a parody on this situation of Obama's movie that came out. And it played mainly in cities with large black audiences, and it did very poorly anyway. It grossed $5 million, which is a bomb. If it was any other movie, they'd say it was a smash bomb. But because it was about him, they said it did fairly well, opening at number 14. Now, if it was a movie about Jesus that opened at 14, all of the vermin in the media would be screaming, Jesus movie flops. Jesus flaps. But no. Number 14 is great because it's about you-know-who. And so before we play this thing on the parody of the Obama movie, I want you to pay careful attention to how well it was done. My producer, Jim Verde, is the voice you're hearing, and he helped produce it. You got to listen to it because it's so good. I played it at the end of the show on Friday, and it fell on deaf ears. Only I heard it and was laughing out loud from it. I don't know how many other people heard this. It's the best thing done in radio in 2016. In fact, I'm going to tell you what. Here's a challenge for you out there. Can anyone listening to this radio show, when you hear the following thing, tell me a better parody that has been done in radio in the year 2016? Because I don't know of it. I'd be glad to listen to you. Tell me who in the radio business ever did a parody like this, as you hear it right now, my parody of the Obama movie on the Savage Nation.
In a time of unrest and revolution in the city of Chicago, something lay below the surface of two radical revolutionaries.
We were at a law firm together. I was a summer associate. She was already practicing law. And I had been sort of eyeing her for a while, but she was acting real professional.
Right. My assumption was this guy's got to be kind of weird.
Love.
He was cuter than I thought he'd be. We clicked right away.
Barack Obama and Michelle Robinson, two radicals falling in love. In Southside with You.
We sat out on a curb on a summer day and had ice cream. And that's when I asked her if I could kiss her.
It was cool. Actually, we spent the whole day together.
One man, one woman, sharing a common goal. Transforming a great nation into a racially divided cesspool.
No, we went to see Do the Right Thing.
Spike Lee. Mm-hmm. It just come out.
Barack and Michelle. Communing. Over communism.
And that was another thing that drew me to Barack, was his work as a community organizer.
Southside with You, a Hammer and Sickle production, now playing at a theater approved by the state, rated R for radical revolution.
You know, we're living in such an age of propaganda that they could put out a piece of garbage like this. A Hallmark card would be more artistic than this movie. And I suspect that the quote filmmaker, who no one ever heard of, can do a sequel on the Clintons and their first date, and I think I even have a title for When Bill Meets Hillary. I might call it Backside with You. Perhaps that would go as a sequel to Southside with You, and I think Backside with You would work for Bill Clinton, don't you? So that's the parody. I'm going to play it over and over again until I get the reaction I deserve from the media. If anyone in the business burps, they cover it on Breitbart. If someone picks wax out of their ear, they show it on Breitbart as original wax. But when truly original radio pieces are done, no one ever notices Michael Savage. No one has him on Fox News. No, I'm not complaining. I'm doing well, but I am pissed off at the vermin in the media, including the fake right-wingers. I am getting so angry at the hypocrisy of the conservative movement, because there is no conservative movement. It's a mercenary movement, just like the left wing is all about money. But you don't know that. And so you have to decide for yourself, who's what, who's on first, who's right, who's wrong. There's been more money made selling the Constitution and courses about the Constitution than was made in writing the Constitution by the framers. I want you to think about that. The framers of the Constitution made nothing writing this document. They did it for the betterment of humanity. And there are peddlers now selling the Constitution on a daily basis, making a fortune off the Constitution. How is that possible? Well, you could say the same thing about the Bible. The prophets spoke what God said to them, I suppose, or what came to them. And as people have been selling Bibles from the beginning of time, making plenty of money off Jesus, so there's nothing new under the sun. What I want to do for you now on the Savage Nation is I could ask you how you feel about Colin Paperneck not singing the national anthem, or not even standing up, rather, for the national anthem If you want to comment on that, the phone number is 855-400-7282. And in order to do that, I want to play Colin Paperneck himself, who states why he would not stand during the national anthem. For those of you who don't follow sports, I don't follow most sports. I find them very boring. But it is a huge thing in America, obviously. Americans are sports crazy. So now you have a sports figure, Colin Paperneck, who wouldn't get up during the national anthem, and now listen to him in clip two justifying it.
I mean, ultimately, it's to bring awareness and make people, you know, realize what's really going on in this country. There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for, and
really?
That's something that needs to change.
Oh, really?
That's something that,
mm-hmm.
you know, this country mm-hmm. stands for freedom, liberty, justice for all. And it's not happening for all right now.
Yeah, he's suffering, you know. I think he made $13 million last year. He's worth $100 million. A moron like him is worth $100 million. And he's screaming about freedom and justice and inequality. Don't you just love it? Now he goes into the big lie. As you know, there's a war against police, especially white police, triggered by the bum in the White House, triggered by the media, triggered by Eric, whatever his name is, Holder, and all the rest of them, the haters of police. So now listen to lie number two from Colin Paperneck in clip three.
There is police brutality.
Yeah.
People of color have
right
been
on.
Targeted by police. So that's a large part of it. And they're government officials. They're put in place by the government. So, you know, that's something that this country has to change. There's things we can do to, you know, hold them more accountable, make those standards right. higher.
How about holding moronic football players like you more accountable, liar? Liar. Paperneck a liar. So now he puts out the big lie put forward by the Black Lives Matter gangster movement. And he says people of color are being targeted by police. Tell that to the girl who was gang raped and fed to alligators in South Carolina. Tell that to her. Tell it to all the other victims of these poor oppressed people. I'm so sick of this big lie. It's one of the greatest propaganda lies on earth. If this is not stopped, what you're going to wake up tomorrow is another tattooed moron on a football field standing up and saluting ISIS. And you're going to say, well, that's his right. It is not his right. There comes a time, my friends, when good people have to stand up or bad people will rule over you. And that's exactly what is happening today in the United States of America. I've had enough, and it's time for you to have enough. I put my career on the line by even speaking out about this. You may say, no, you don't. Yes, I do. If you had any idea what kind of boycotts there are against people like myself in radio, you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked to find out what kind of boycotts exist against the truth in this country while the louts who hate this country enjoy all of the fruits that this great nation has to offer. Now, I want to tell you that before I take my first break and you're calling the show, I'm going to quote richly from a book written in 1997 by an African-American, or shall I say a black American, which he prefers. He's uncomfortable with the word African-American because he feels that it's a construct that doesn't exist. I remember reading the book when I was an early talk show host, early in the business. It was called Out of America by Keith Richburg, respected journalist at the Washington Post. And he went to Africa to find his roots. And what he found disgusted him. I'm going to quote liberally, pardon for me for using the word, I'm going to quote liberally from Keith Richburg's own book, Out of America, about what this black American found when he went to Africa and how he was sickened by what he found there as he visited the continent of Africa. You won't believe what I'm about to read to you. And then you'll see the big lie of Colin Paperneck and all the rest of them who say America's a racist nation while they're rolling in money and rolling in wealth. And I got to tell you something else. As you listen to those quotes from the Richburg book, which is long out of print, I will tell you that what we're witnessing is a cultural revolution that certainly was not started by Obama, but unless we are made aware of what is going on, is liable to be ended by Hillary Clinton. And we will all be under the yoke of an oppressive government from which we will never, ever break free. Ask the Soviets what it was like once they permitted a bunch of bureaucrats to get control over their daily lives. I write a chapter in Scorched Earth out 2 weeks from tomorrow entitled The American Cultural Revolution. And I touch on exactly these issues of who did it to us. For example, During World War II, young boys volunteered to go overseas to save the world. Now American kids on college campuses retreat to their safe spaces to escape from potential microaggressions and to apologize for their white guilt. My friends, you're watching a revolution being orchestrated from the highest in the land. And I will tell you more about it when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up at 3, it's Mark Levin on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
From Pat Filmon to Colin Paperneck in one administration, and you know, you go to my Facebook page and I say it, I got so mad over the weekend. Here's what I wrote. Maybe I went over, I don't know. I wrote, why do morons attend these games? Why do patriotic Americans support the 49ers? Have they no idea what hatred this low-life zillionaire has for them and our nation? What fools. That, I mean, to me, that was my emotional reaction to it. And I still feel the same way. Now, is he required to stand and salute the flag? Nothing is required with regard to that. You would think that since we are at war with radical Muslims who are killing our men, and there are gold star families in the audience, this ungrateful, untalented football player would have the decency to stand up for the national anthem. That's what you would think, wouldn't you? Patty on KLIF is a gold star mom. Patty, fire away. Go ahead, 30 seconds or less.
My son was a Green Beret. He was killed in Iraq. His blood and his body laid in a foreign land. Now, his spirit was in glory land. But this just sickens me. Obama, the liberals, Hillary Clinton, they've trumped our fallen soldiers' blood.
You are right. They're all garbage. They're all anti-American garbage who in my time would be in prison for sedition.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed. To me, this is something that has to change. And when there's significant change, and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent, and this country is representing people the way that it's supposed to, I'll stand.
You're listening to a seditious rat, a football player named Colin Paperneck, who, as you know, has set off a controversy in this nation that's being swept under the rug by the NFL and by the 49ers because they know this could result in major loss of profits. This little stunt of this failing football player, however, will not soon be forgotten across America, because it goes to the core of the cultural revolution and the cultural rot of the entire left-wing establishment, as exemplified by the rat president and that monster criminal waiting to take his place. I don't have to spell out their names, do I? So the fact of the matter is, the American people know what's what. They know that there's fundamentally a cultural civil war. He has made himself a lightning rod of hatred across the land by refusing to stand for the anthem. Now, it should not be lost on you that Colin Kaepernick has African heritage and he has some, let us say, confusion in his loyalties. He was raised a Christian. He was baptized Methodist, confirmed Lutheran, attended a Baptist church. He has multiple Christian-oriented tattoos on his body, and yet there's been a strange change in his behavior recently. The internet argues that he has converted to Islam. He's dating a Muslim woman. I don't know if any of that is true, nor does it matter. What matters is that a sports figure would dare to disrespect the American flag and the American people like this. And he says this is a racist nation that doesn't respect black people and other minorities. Well, let's talk about that for a minute. There was a book in 1997 that was entitled Out of America by a Washington Post journalist named Keith Richburg. I had him on the show when I was a local host at the time. And I'm going to read you some of his quotes about what he found when he went to Africa. Now, he is an African American, or a black African is what he would like to call himself. I don't know what he defines himself, a black American. I don't know how he defines himself. But he was uncomfortable with the phrase African Americans. In fact, in his book, he writes, I just wrote Black Americans, he said. I couldn't even bring myself to write African Americans. It's a phrase that, for me, still doesn't roll easily off the tongue or look natural on the screen of the computer terminal. Going from colored to black took some time to get used to. But now African-American? He asks, is that what we really are? Is there anything African left in the descendants of those original slaves who made that long journey over? Are white Americans whose ancestors came here as long ago as the slaves did, are they English-Americans or Dutch-Americans? Haven't the centuries erased all those connections so that we are now all simply called Americans? Now remember, this man's a fine journalist named Keith Richburg. His book was very, very well received at the time. It's been forgotten. I don't think it would be published today. I think people would be too afraid to publish this book. But I have the book, and I'm going to read it to those of you out there who are brainwashed fools, white, black, Asian, Hispanic. I want you to understand how brainwashed you have been by the communists in this country. And here it is. He says this. He went back to Africa to find his heritage as a journalist. And he said, if this is Africa, what does it mean to be an African-American? He said, somewhere, sometime, maybe 400 years ago, an ancestor of mine, whose name I'll never know, was shackled in leg irons, kept in a dark pit, possibly at Gori Island off the coast of Senegal, and then put with thousands of other Africans into the crowded, filthy cargo hold of a ship for the long and treacherous journey across the Atlantic. Many of them died along the way of disease, of hunger. But my ancestor survived. Maybe because, he said, my ancestor survived. Maybe because he was strong, maybe stubborn enough to want to live, or maybe just lucky. He was ripped away from his country and his family, forced into slavery somewhere in the Caribbean. Then one of his descendants somehow made it up to South Carolina. And one of those descendants, my father, made it to Detroit during a Second World War. And there I was born 36 years ago, he says. And if that original ancestor hadn't been forced to make that horrific voyage, I would not have been standing there that day on the Rusumo Falls Bridge, a journalist, a mere spectator, watching the bodies glide past me like river logs. No, I might have instead been one of them, or have met some similarly anonymous fate in any one of the countless ongoing civil wars or tribal clashes on this brutal continent. And then he writes, and so I thank God my ancestor made that voyage. Now remember, this is written by an African-American journalist. I'm not changing one word. He goes on. He writes, does that sound shocking? Does it sound almost like a justification for the terrible crime of slavery? Does it sound like this black man has forgotten his African roots? Of course it does. All that and more. And that is precisely why I've tried to keep the emotion buried so deep for so long. But as I sit before the computer screen trying to sum up my time in Africa, I have decided I cannot lie to you, the reader. After 3 years traveling around this continent as a reporter for the Washington Post, I've become cynical, jaded. I have covered the famine and civil war in Somalia. I've seen a cholera epidemic in Zaire. I've seen trucks dumping the bodies into pits. I've interviewed evil warlords. I've encountered machete-wielding Hutu mass murderers. I've talked to a guy in a wig and a shower cap, smoking a joint and holding an AK-47 on a bridge just outside Monrovia. I've seen some cities in rubble because they had been bombed, and some cities in rubble because corrupt leaders had let them rot and decay. I've seen monumental greed and corruption, brutality, tyranny, and evil. He talks about his time in America when he lived in Detroit, that his family came up to work in the auto factories. And then he says there were actually two black Detroits while I was growing up, the east side and the west. The dividing line was Woodward Avenue, our own version of Beirut's infamous Green Line. But the division was more psychological and geographic, centering mainly on black attitudes, the strange caste system in black America at the time, where you could place your roots in the South. Roughly put, the split was between South Carolina blacks on the west side and Alabama blacks on the east. These were, in a way, our tribes. Again, he is writing. I'm not editorializing. He says, well, he writes, it sounds strange even to me as I look back on it, but those divisions were very real to the black people living in Detroit when I was young, at a time when the city was transforming itself from predominantly white to predominantly black. It was drummed into me that South Carolina blacks, like my family, owned their homes and rarely rented. They had small patches of yard in the front and kept their fences mended. They came from Charleston, Anderson, Greenville, sometimes Columbia. They saved their money, went to church on Sunday, bought their kids new clothes at Easter and for the start of the school year. They kept their hair cut close. They ate turkey and ham and grits and sweet potato pie. They were well brought up and they expected their children to be the same. He said, "Don't cross Woodward Avenue," we were told, "because those blacks over there came up from Alabama. They talked loudly, they drank heavily, and they cursed in public. They had darker skin and nappier hair," he writes. "They didn't own homes, they rented. And they let the grass in the front run down to dirt, and their fences were all falling apart. They ate pig's feet, and often had more than a dozen relatives, all from Alabama, stacked up in a few small rooms." Then he uses a derogatory term that I cannot repeat. And then he says, "The greatest insult was he ain't nothing. He just came up here from Alabama." And then he ends with something. He doesn't end with a piece that I want to again quote. He said, "You see, I just wrote the words black Americans. I couldn't even bring myself to write African Americans. It's a phrase that for me still doesn't roll easily off the tongue or look natural on the screen of the computer terminal. Going from color to black took some time to get used to, but now African American, is that what we really are? Is there anything African left in the descendants of those original slaves who made that long journey over? Are white Americans, whose ancestors came as long ago as the slaves did, English Americans or Dutch Americans? Haven't the centuries erased all those connections so that we're all now simply Americans?" So that's Keith Richburg, very respected journalist, in his book Out of America from 1997, where he went to Africa to discover his roots, and he was shocked at what he encountered. And now we come full circle after we have had a president, two attorney generals who are of African origin, countless members of a certain background running the government at every level. Everywhere you turn in Hollywood, everywhere you turn in the media, the glorification of only a certain type of individual from a certain background, with the denigration of the white male, especially the heterosexual Christian white variety. And now we come full circle to a football player named Colin Kaepernick, who the other day refused to stand up for the national anthem and has set off a national dialogue and a national outrage. And if you care to comment on any of this, I will give you my phone number, 855-400-7282. And I'd like to hear what you have to say. In the, with a 29-point, 27-point, we had a gold star mom who lost her son in battle. You can just imagine what she feels seeing this spoiled football player spitting on her son's grave by not getting up. KSFO Tom, in the land of the 49ers, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, it struck me when you mentioned Kaepernick's background, raised a black father, abandoned and raised by white parents, obviously privilege has made money, that Kaepernick in a stadium of fans is a mirror image of Obama in a stadium of voters. They are very parallel.
It's very interesting that what you were saying. He had a mother, a white mother, who abandoned him, a father he never met, a black father he never met, and he has a lot of hatred for his mother. And if you do a psychological analysis of this, this is Freud 101. Obama resents his white mother for having ditched him, and he identifies with his father. Yeah, I think it's the same with this guy.
I think you're right, and I think the fans that that cheer on the 49ers, they don't realize that they're the Obama fanatic voters that voted for Obama. This is what they have idolized and lionized, and you know, he may be a third-rate quarterback now, but that's not the point. He was put to the top, and this is what we got back from it.
Well, Tom, are you a sports fan? Do you go to 49ers games?
No, I watch a little Canadian football near the end of the season. I'm not a big on hockey.
All right, you're getting a copy of Scorched Earth coming out in 2 weeks from tomorrow. I'm sure you'll find all this and more to chew on, believe me. And thank you for the analysis between Kaepernick's mental problems and Obama's mental derangement and his hatred for a certain part of his heritage, all to do with the Freudian abandonment issues that any psychologist, Psychology 101, would tell you that that's what this is about. How Obama, look, I mean, let's be clear, it's caused the schizophrenia in the guy. And he decided to go in one direction and abandon the other. And he's taking it out on an entire portion of the population for the 8 straight years that we had to put up with this nutcase in the White House. Well, now we're talking about the evil nutcase in the White House. We are talking about this football player who had better years than he's had recently, by the way. And there's that element as well. He was once a very, very prized football player, but he isn't any longer. And that's not the issue. The issue is, why do you go to those games? The issue is, if you go to another 49ers game, do you intend to jeer when this character appears anywhere on the field? Or what are you doing to protest the 49ers or this guy named Colin Kaepernick? What are you doing in your own way to say, I'm not accepting what this anti-American did? Okay, I'm here for you. Call.
Thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, another school has banned the American flag from a football game because it might antagonize Hispanics in the audience. How do you like that one? Can you imagine we've reached a point where invaders' sentiments are put ahead of Americans' feelings? Can you believe it's fallen to that level? Yes, after almost a decade of a psychopath in the White House. Now he wants to turn over the internet to the United Nations. Now he's meeting with the murderous dictator of Turkey, Erdogan. The man who sent $400 million in a cargo plane, unheard of in American history. He is fundamentally a gang leader. Obama is a gangster and a gang leader who is out of control. He's like a madman out of control in his last months. So you wonder why a mere football player will go berserk on a field and risk his entire career in doing a thing like this? Oh, yeah, school bans American flag from football games. Meanwhile, Trump challenges Hillary, says release those medical records. It's all tied up to the latest polls. They're tied, by the way. Latinos are coming around. African Americans are coming around to Trump. And it looks to me, as you well know, conservatives never respond to polls. I never met a conservative who ever answered a poll. Ever. It seems to me that he could win this one. However, with all the illegals who have been funneled into this country by the gangster in the White House, by all of the illegals are going to vote because of the gang called the Democrat Party, I'm not sure Trump can win.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
So this cultural revolution, which was largely under control until this gangster took over America, and with his silk-smooth delivery, pushed a form of progressivism that has launched us into a social, if not a shooting civil war, where cops are being shot every day because of this gangster in the White House. We're now seeing football players refusing to stand for the national anthem, and the dummies in the stands who made these idiots rich don't do anything. They don't boo, they don't boycott, they don't avoid the game, they don't send a note of protest. The dummies go there to get drunk. That's all. So what is it that old Kaepernick wants? What is the football? They say $100 million. He made over $11 million last year, maybe more. What is he complaining about? It's nothing. It's pure rubbish. And so you have to ask yourself, why is he doing it? Oh, it's heartfelt. Because he's really an oppressed minority, that's why. How we've gone from Pat Tillman to call in Paperneck in just one administration is not an amusement to me. It's pretty clear what's happened to this country. And so I will turn it over to you. Here's an email from a listener who says something about America that I would like to read to you. And I just want to make sure that I want to read the right thing, whether it should be anonymous. Okay, got that. See, I asked, should it be anonymous? And the individual said yes. So this anonymous emailer wrote, I don't get why so many Americans expect this country to be perfect and far more perfect than humans can possibly be. If it's not perfect, they feel they need to denounce the entire nation, no matter how much better it is in many ways than most, if not all, of the nations in the world. In my experience, this individual writes, these individuals are often the same ones who think America was and still is solely responsible for the Atlantic slave trade. Are they uneducated, misinformed, unintelligent, or some combination thereof? Or is it more about getting attention and going with what's fashionable than anything else? Now, there's so many things that this person said that need to be discussed. Are they uneducated? Check that. Misinformed? Check that. Unintelligent? Check that. Combination thereof? Check that. I mean, if you're going to protest, why don't you protest the Arabs who sold Africans into slavery? If you're going to protest, why don't you protest the Spanish families who made fortunes off the slave trade? But that's not what it's about. It's just to hate a certain amount of the population. That's what it's all about. And the police, of course, are the ones who are on the front lines of this cultural war. You know that? This is another person writes, the same people care nothing about how many young American black men are lost every year to the grave and to prison because of the obscene number of homicides they commit. They don't care about black lives. They just want to throw garbage at anything and everything that isn't suffering along with them rather than take responsibility and address the real problem. If they acknowledge the real problem, they'd have to actually do something more than whine in support of a racist movement like Black Lives Matter that helps no one. Amen to that one. And now let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation, some great callers. Here we go to Washington, D.C. WMAL. Simon, thank you for calling, my friend. What's on your mind today?
As a black police officer, family members, officers, brothers, sisters, friends, it pains me to feel like my own government has put a target on my back and made me the enemy of a country I love. I love helping people. We love helping people. Yeah, we're not all perfect. We get it. But the 3 or 4 questionable shootings by officers don't amount to the probably 600 homicides Chicago's going to have this year. We don't have a gun problem. We have a culture problem. People in this country don't value life. They don't value what they have. And we're always comparing ourselves to somebody else. We're wanting more. And then when we don't get our way, we have to blame somebody. Right now, we blame, Mike, to put it simply, I sometimes feel like, and me and many of my brothers and sisters who wear the shield, we are the most hated people in the country right now. And it sucks. And I'm tired of
these. Simon, you're an African-American cop. Have you seen things change, and when did it start to change?
It probably started right around the aftermath of the Michael Brown shooting, if you're meaning when did it start to go downhill, and the
formation
of Black Lives Matter, because they got support from the government. And when the first black president shows support to a group that hates the police, well, guess who follows suit?
So in other words, Obama is the culprit in this case. He joined up with this group of haters. By the way, this hating group got $70 million from George Soros, just so you know who really wants a revolution. But as a man who walks the streets or drives around his patrol car, do you feel a different sentiment out there in the streets than you did then? Obviously you do.
You do. I find myself getting a lot of negative looks more than usual. But to be fair, I do have a lot more people who come up to me now and do say, hey, thank you for what you do. We're sorry all this is going on. We do, a lot of us do get that now. And we
Hold on. This is important for me to hear. And I don't know, Simon, it's a tough question. The ones who do come up to you and say we're sympathetic with you, is there a racial component to those people?
I've actually gotten it probably from every race, black, white, Asian, Hispanic. It actually has come in many forms. But I think the thing is they know they can't do it publicly because they'll be shamed. How many celebrities?
Isn't that something? That thing is so upside down. So upside down. I have a sponsor, Swiss America. He actually ordered, I think, from Chick-fil-A lunch for his local precinct. He sent it over to them a couple of days in a row. I mean, if everyone listening to this show could do something good and nice for police, that would be great. And it certainly would counter some of the evil of these villains. Simon, you know, all I can say is you're on the front lines. I mean, you're like a soldier on the front lines of a war. And this is not rhetoric for you. This is reality for you. And if you empower these thugs, more of guys like you are going to get hurt. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you for calling. I'm sending you my new best-selling book, Scorched Earth. It's not a bestseller yet, but it will be. And the important thing is, will it be in time to save this country? If you want to talk more about it, I'm still open here. Oh, here's a great call. Now, in the last hour, I read a long excerpt from a book done in the 90s called Out of America by Keith Richburg. And it was about a black American, a fine journalist who went to Africa for 3 years to find his roots. And he was shocked at what he found. He couldn't wait to get back to America. He hated Africa. He hated Africa in terms of what he saw there. And he thanked God. He said he thanked God that his ancestor was ripped out of Africa. Can you believe this? Now, could you imagine a book like that coming out today? Ken on WJR, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Michael, back in 1997, I happened to go through Dearborn. I was in a Borders bookstore, and Keith Richburg happened to be there. And it was fascinating listening to his talk and some of the questions. This one African-American guy stood up, and he says, "Sir, you don't care about your ancestry. You're a traitor to your race." And he went on and on. He says, he looked at me and says, "Sir, have you ever been to Africa?" "No, but I know what my heritage is." "Sir, let me tell you a little story. I was going through this village, and there was a commotion in mid-afternoon." I says, "What's going on here?" And they says, "This man was with a woman the other night, and we found out, he told people that he wasn't circumcised, which is in accordance with our custom." He says, "Well, guess what they did? They tied this guy to a tree in the middle of the town square and circumcised this guy right there." And you should have heard everybody wince in that audience. And Richburg says, "Well, what do you think Africa is like? Hey, let's go to Blockbuster Video tonight. Let's go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Let's go." "No." He says, "It was a very dangerous and scary place. I couldn't wait to leave."
Well, the point of my reading from Richburg's Out of America was quite direct, which was all of this big lie about how bad America is, especially by minorities, is based upon a complete fraud. Why are so many millions of Mexicans breaking into America? Why do so many oppressed Hondurans and Nicaraguans and Salvadorans kill themselves to come through Mexico to get here? Because you do know that the journey through Mexico is very dangerous. The Mexican police beat them, rape them, rob them, hold them up along the way, that sacred nation of Mexico filled with such kind people, and they get to this evil, oppressive nation. Why are they coming here? Has anyone asked why they all come here? Why is there a giant sucking sound north rather than a giant sucking sound south? I think that answers the question, don't you? I'm sending you Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama. It'll be out in 2 weeks. You can still order it. You can just order it right now on Amazon. And by the way, before you go, everyone else, I got to tell you this. In the next few days, there's going to be a special offer on this show for anyone who pre-orders this book, whether it be on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, we're going to give you a special email address that you can email, and you're going to be getting, you ready for this? A chapter that was expunged from the book. It was too hot to publish. Now, many of you can say, "Wait a minute, I bought the book already online. Thousands of us went and bought it. Are we going to be ripped off?" No. You, too, will get that email address, and you, too, will be able to get the chapter that actually is not in the book. It's a special, special bonus chapter for anyone who orders that book before it's published 2 weeks from tomorrow. It's called Scorched Earth. Even if you ordered it now, you'll hear about this over the next few days as we go into the Labor Day weekend. Again, that opens up a line. We have one open line here at 855-400-7282. I'd like to hear from someone here in the Bay Area who is a football fan, who goes to 49ers games, and who thinks they're going to change their behavior at the next game. I'm not saying don't go to the game, but surely you got to be heard. Don't you have to say something? Are you going to sit there like a dunce and a putz in the audience and let this guy do it again? Or are you going to say something? Because you see, the winds of God are blowing. The winds of God are blowing, so keep your sails unfurled. And the winds of God will take you to safe harbors of the world. Forever they're in motion to take you where you will. forever full of power if there are sails to fill. But they cannot do their duty if you should reef your sail. The winds would still be blowing, but they blow to no avail. So if upon your voyage be calmed your ship or slow, oh, blame it not to winds of God. He doth not wish it so. So take the helm, be master, unfurling sails your part, and the winds of God will take you to the harbor of your heart. It's a poem entitled The Winds of God. It was written by Nellie Olmsted Lincoln, and I'd like you to take it to heart.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, so we're going to move on a little bit to the election itself. You can still call on this anti-American football player and his juvenile stupidity, if you'd like. Hillary, of course, is running a similar campaign to what Paperneck is doing, in her own way, putting down America, blaming white people, pandering to minorities, this spoiled criminal, wearing a Mao jacket every day, showing us where this country will go. Oh, boy, if you only knew. If you only knew the coldness of this woman's heart, if you could ever understand what she might bring us to. And at the same time this is going on, she gets this unknown Tim Kaine, who is a very, very clever manipulator of minorities. In fact, Tim Kaine permitted Hispanic illegals to vote in his state, which is how he got where he is. That's why she selected him. He is a former, I think, Peace Corps operative who speaks Spanish fluently. And as a result, he has bamboozled people who speak Spanish into thinking he is their friend when he's really nothing more than a demagogue. And that is, in this case, if you listen to clip 13, you'll see what I'm talking about. Tim Kaine, the man who would hold a nuclear football if Hillary's catheter failed.
Let's just take the principle that we stated in 1776 would be the North Star for our nation. When Virginians put that in the Declaration of Independence, they weren't living that way. Nobody was living that way, but still, they had a wisdom to tell them to put that out as a North Star that would measure our progress as a people.
Now, what does that mean, progress? The key word is progress. Well, what he means by progress is calling Donald Trump a Ku Klux Klan member in clip 14.
Hillary Clinton gave a speech in Reno, Nevada, calling out Donald Trump on a lot of things on this equality idea, calling him out on the fact that he has supporters like David Duke connected with the Ku Klux Klan who are going around and saying Donald Trump is their candidate because Donald Trump is pushing their values. Ku Klux Klan values, David Duke values, Donald Trump values are not American values.
You know, there's no comment that you can make on a thing like this. The Communist Party USA supports Hillary Clinton. Shall I go down the list of other left-wing fanatics who support Hillary and Tim Kaine? Would you like to hear them? Shall I give you a laundry list of the evildoers on the left who are associated with a political system called communism that resulted in the deaths of 100 million people in the last century? Would you like a list of them? Because I have the list, Mr. Kaine. I don't have to get angry and scream and create a little scene here, but I actually list the subversive organizations who support you and Hillary Clinton. In fact, I wrote a whole chapter about them because I hope that when Donald Trump becomes president, he will create a new HUAC, a House of Un-American Activities Committee, and he will outline the subversive organizations in the United States, and he will do what needs to be done legally in order to make certain that they are curtailed. And so my chapter is entitled, In Scorched Earth, The Most Dangerous Subversive Organizations in the United States. Would you like the names, in my opinion? Would you like to know the guys that Obama has planted inside the government who will be almost impossible to remove? One of them is named Thomas Perez, one of the most fanatical leftists in the history of the world. He was put into the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Department of Justice by Barry Obama as a virtual poison pill. Nearly everything that Thomas Perez does is a civil rights violation itself. And he has created laws and restrictions to make businesses almost inoperable in this country. But that's only one person. Would you like others? They are in scorched earth. For example, take the former head of the National Council of La Raza, a woman by the name of Cecilia Munoz, one of the most radical individuals in American political history, who is a special advisor to Barry. Now, I'll read you more and name them for you, all of the subversive groups in America, or you can read them yourself in Scorched Earth.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
We are facing a conundrum here in America today. Of course I believe in the First Amendment. Of course I believe in freedom of speech. I live by it. However, there's a conundrum. The conundrum is the big lie being put out by Barry in the White House and the universities about the oppressive nature of America compared to what? America is oppressive compared to which nation? Which nation is less oppressive? Do you have a role model of a nation you'd like this country to be like? Which nation would that be? Philip, WTMA in South Carolina, fire away, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Yeah, I just want to say two quick points. One, Mr. Kaepernick, good football player, has every right in the world to say anything he wants to say. Two, who cares?
All right, hold on, before you go to two, do I have the right to say what I want?
Oh, of course, absolutely. But
okay, well, I'm glad to hear it. Then why is it that I face boycotts by advertisers, by agencies that run this business, and he doesn't? Can you explain that to me?
I'm sorry, excuse me, what are you saying?
Goodbye, I never repeat myself. This is a trick that libs use. They're one-wayers. Oh, he has the right to say what he wants, but he's not facing any financial consequences, is he? You ask anybody in talk radio. Anybody in talk radio who is on the conservative side has faced a boycott for over 10 years, if not more. We are on no-buy lists. Do you know about that? Did you ever ask yourself why you never hear car advertisers or some of the products that you buy never advertised on these shows? Am I not even allowed to say it to you? Then why is it that the 49ers are not boycotted? Because the answer, my friend, is very clear. The left wing controls the advertising business. The left wing controls the media. The left wing controls the government. The left wing controls the universities. The left wing controls your brain. That's why. And I am frankly glad that we're having this discussion. Maybe people don't know what kind of bigotry we have faced in talk radio all of these years. And frankly, it's time we talked about it. Now, I want to go back to a far more fundamentally important issue to me, which is how we're going to get out of this mess of this radical left-wing fringe controlling this country once Trump wins, should he win. Of course, if she wins, it's all over. And I list them in Scorched Earth. Would you like to know the names of these extreme liberal progressive organizations? Some of them you will know. The American Civil Liberties Union, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, the Southern Poverty Law Center. Oh, but there are many, many others that are clearly treasonous, in my opinion. The number one public enemy, page 85, the head of the serpent is the ACLU. It must be broken apart. Now, if I say that the way to do it is to start with a UAC, House of Un-American Activities Committee investigation, I know what's going to happen. The left wing will go insane. They'll say, Savage, you're violating our civil rights. They'll say, you do not have probable cause to bring people in to investigate them. They might be right. But we need to do exactly that for our survival, I write. Tell me how a society that is open like ours, that is democratic like ours, can survive when enemies of freedom, enemies of democracy, are destroying society by using the very freedoms that we have in place because of the U.S. Constitution. What would you do? This is the conundrum we are facing. These are probably the most important questions of our time. How can civil liberties be protected? And should civil liberties be put above survival? Should civil liberties be put above survival? Because with all due respect to Benjamin Franklin, who said that liberty must be placed higher than security, without survival, what good are civil liberties? That's the problem. This crusade is going to lead us down roads we may not be comfortable going down, but we must go there, page 86, Scorched Earth. How can the ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, CARE, and all the damage they're doing to this country be stopped? Answer, here it is, right in front of your eyes. By the way, I sent a case of it to the Donald Trump campaign. and I believe they received it on Friday. And I'll be very honest with you, I did. And I asked the individuals there who I deal with, would you please give Mr. Trump a copy of Scorched Earth, because here's what's coming. Come when this book comes out, 2 weeks from tomorrow, all of the thousands, tens of thousands folks who buy my books are going to go to Trump rallies from that day on through the election, and I'm going to ask them to be a soldier of the Savage Nation and bring their Bible with them, Scorched Earth, and hold it up in the crowd when Donald Trump speaks. Bring it and hold it up, because eventually Mr. Trump may understand that the words Scorched Earth are exactly the words he should be using in his future campaigns. That Hillary will leave a scorched earth on the police forces, a scorched earth on the football fields, a scorched earth in the schools, a scorched earth in the military, a scorched earth in businesses, you name it, she will scorch it. But what names are the other groups that you need to know about? Page 87, I'm giving it to you free right now, in Scorched Earth. Here they are. You've never heard them except here. Here are the organizations that have received direct funding and assistance from the mastermind of world revolution and world disorder, the money changer George Soros, and his so-called Open Society Foundations. Are you ready for the names? Advancement Project, All of Us or None, Alliance for Justice, America Coming Together, America Votes, America's Voice, American Bar Association, Commission on Immigration, American Bridge 21st Century, ACLU, American Constitution Society for Law and Policy, American Family Voices. I can name many more of them. But they're all the same wolf in different sheepskins. Let's bring them into the light and expose them. Make them scatter like cockroaches when you turn on the light. Now, the request that I'm making on this program and in Scorched Earth is this. Name subversive organizations or organizations you consider to be so far off the ideal of the American way that they are in fact subversive, meaning that they spend all of their resources going against the wishes of the taxpayer. That broadens it quite a bit, doesn't it? Name those, read about them, and get vocal about them, get angry about them. And how will you know them? If being subversive means going against the wishes of the taxpayers, what do the taxpayers want, I ask? Well, does the average taxpayer want more immigrants or fewer immigrants? You know the answer. Most want no immigrants. You have groups that are working around the clock to bring in floods upon floods of immigrants. A virtual tsunami, an indigestible amount or number of refugees, immigrants, whatever you want to call them, especially from third world nations that hate us. These low, unscrupulous organizations are bringing in people who will never, ever integrate into the society, who will spend their every waking minute hating the society, many of whom will go off like rockets. Those groups would be at the top of my list. There is much more. It's all in Scorched Earth. And I will conclude with page 88's warning. As I've said many times for many years, at the top of my list is the ACLU. Of course, its officers will argue, we're not subversive. We're not anti-American. We just believe in immigration. Well, sure it does. As long as it allows foreigners to sidestep borders, language, and culture with impunity. I'd like the ACLU to answer some of my questions. For example, where do you get your funding from? How much of your funding comes from foreign governments? How much has the Mexican government contributed through front groups? Well, there are many other organizations, including those bringing in Muslim men of military age. Have you heard about what's going on in Germany or France? Do you need to go that far to know what Barry, the criminal, the head of the Obama crime family, has done to this country? Do you know that the head of the Obama crime family has brought in 10,000 Syrian, quote, refugees, most of whom are Muslim, 98% Muslim, almost no Christians, and almost all of whom are Muslims of military age? To top it off, the head of the Obama crime family is going to meet with the head of the Turkish fascist government, Erdogan, on September 4th, again associating with the most despicable dictators on the planet while spitting on American freedom-loving voters. And, of course, you, the people of this program, understand exactly what I'm talking about. Everything is at stake in this election. Everything you can imagine is at stake. All of the damage that Barry has done will be finished by Hillary. That's what's at stake on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, so before the hour comes to an end, I think we need to come to a conclusion about what must be done, what we say to this paper neck, this 49ers football player who refused to stand for the national anthem, this phony liar, Colin Paperneck. How we've gone from a hero like Pat Tillman, who gave his life for the nation, and by the way, gave up a lucrative football contract to fight for America, to this piece of garbage in one administration is not shocking to me. Yeah, he's really down with the oppressed, this Colin Paperneck. $114 million contract. Enjoying the adulation of the idiots in the stands, living a life of luxury, all as a result of this great nation of ours. And yet he sounds like he's an underprivileged man. He said he can't stand for the national anthem because of his conscience. Well, there was a Marine who really can't stand for the national anthem. You see, he lost his legs to a roadside bomb in Afghanistan. But the Marine who can't stand for the national anthem found a way to stand for the national anthem. You see, he put his arms on his wheelchair and he stood his attention. Can you believe this? While this bum uses a slur against America. Can you believe this? Yeah, there's a lot of evidence out there for the hatred. He didn't stand during the national anthem. And yet his stupidity got even worse when he tried to explain his so-called reasoning in a brain that apparently has no reasoning. I won't show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. $114 million contract. Are we to assume that the contract would be, what, $214 million if it was not a racist nation? Maybe it would be $1 billion if it wasn't a racist nation. Maybe he would own the NFL if it wasn't a racist nation. Maybe he'd own Facebook if it wasn't a racist nation. How do you think old Paperneck came by that First Amendment right to begin with? It's because of men like this Marine who has no legs, who stood at attention by putting his arms rigidly against the arms of his wheelchair as the anthem was played. Yep, that was a Marine who couldn't stand because he defended it. His name, Sergeant Zachary Stinson of Pennsylvania, lost both legs above the knee in an IED blast in Afghanistan in 2010. But as we on the Savage Nation note, he still found a way to stand when his national anthem was played. Shame on Kupernick. He just ought to get out of this country and go to a nation that would treat him more fairly. What nation might that be, Kupernick? Where do you think a bum of your low talent and your miserable personality, where do you think a nation would be better than this one? What nation would have you? What game might you play where you'd make more money and be treated with more respect? What continent would be on? What nation would it be? What flag would you salute? Would it be the hammer and sickle, which is no longer used? Or would it be another symbol, perhaps, that is behind all of this malice? People are rumor-mongering across the internet that it's a result of his religious conversion from Christianity to another religion, but we can't confirm that, so we won't go into it. My friends, this is the Savage Nation, and I think it's time for you to be counted and to stand up. WJR, Chuck, you're going to have the last word in this hour. Fire away, you're on the Savage Nation from Detroit.
Honored to talk to you, Dr. Savage. I'm probably going to repeat what you said and what you already know about Colin Kaepernick, but my opinion is that he is a useful idiot. He is, the Black Lives Matter people are in his ear. They've fed him misinformation about, bodies piling up in the streets and all of these totally inane youth.
Well, there are bodies piling up in Chicago where blacks are killing blacks, and there are bodies of police officers piling up as well as a result of steaming up the thugs with machine guns in the streets. That's right. The bodies are piling up because of guys like Colin Paperneck, in my opinion. He's feeding the hatred. He's feeding the thugs. He's feeding the murderers. He's feeding the civil war that I warned you about. That's right. Well, here's the good news in all of this. There is some good news. There is a silver lining behind it all. Funny face, Barbara Streisand will leave the United States if Trump is elected. There's another reason to vote. Entertainer Barbara Streisand gave an interview with Australia-based correspondent Michael Usher and said that if Trump's elected, quote, I'm either coming to your country, meaning Australia, or Canada. Now, I do not know if there are any standards in Australia that would prohibit an older woman who looks like a kangaroo from entering the nation. But if there is no such restriction, I believe that this woman would probably be happier in Australia than in Canada. She also said that I don't take anything for granted. I want Hillary Clinton to be president of the United States because there's a lot of sexism. You see, there's another one. Another billionaire who's oppressed, Barbara Streisand. A lot of sexism, Barbara, is there? You lying sack of garbage, you. A woman being president? Wow. That'll give us a lot of freedom, she says. She said that Trump is a blister that has to be popped so the country can get back to sanity. But, you know, folks, there's other good news. There's a lot of other wonderful individuals in Hollywood who said they're going to leave if Trump wins. Whoopi Goldberg is going to leave. We hear that New York's Attorney General is going to leave. We hear that half of the Hollywood vermin are going to leave. Wow, can you imagine if we have movies we can actually go to without having to bring a puke bag from an airline with us? So, my friends, there are many reasons to hope that Trump wins, because we'll get rid of a lot of the worst Americans if they actually do leave. You know they're not going to leave, never. You know she's never going to leave. And as far as the flag-mocking quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, Sarah Palin is right when she said, get the hell out of here. Good for her. Palin said Americans should band together to drive Colin Kaepernick out of the country. Palin said, let's sack this ungrateful punk, said Sarah Palin. Good for her. He refused to stand for the Star-Spangled Banner because he only had a $114 million contract. And the 49ers and the NFL, they have nothing to say? Well, you the people have a lot to say, and you can say it at the next game you go to. This is the American radio show, The Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
As the drive hits the deep right field, that ball is going, it is gone. Maris hitting his second homer of the day. And the Yankees' sixth homer of the ball game. Too short of the record. That's
one of the great voices in sportscasting that I remember from my childhood, Mel Allen. I used to hear that mellifluous voice and just be hypnotized by it, as I was by the game itself, although I am not currently a sports fan of any kind. I like boxing occasionally. That's about it. I certainly respect those who go to games. I mean, I just don't go, period. I know very intelligent people who do. I know it sounds preposterous to say that, but I don't find it that entertaining. I find it a little something else. So now we wake up and we find a football player who made $116 million in a contract screaming America's a racist nation. And he gets up, and all of a sudden he says that he hates the nation because it's not good to blacks and other minorities. Peevish little man getting his 15 minutes of political fame. And as a Dallas radio host wrote, this is not a free speech issue. He says this. When intentional and baseless affronts to our nation become something that is tolerated by growing numbers of organizations and institutions, it means we have lost the most basic expectations of civility and decorous behavior. He says we're all free to love or hate our nation as we wish. But when in public, those paid handsomely by ticket-buying spectators need to holster their peevish political urges for the 60 seconds of expected respect for the nation that affords them that freedom. Very well stated, very well written, and that's the crux of the matter. This is a public display to an audience that is captive and has no option to disagree with that little man, whatever his name is, Kupel Kopernik. Now, there's another, you got to hear him himself saying why he said it, because it's preposterous when you listen to this, given that he has a $114 million contract. Here is the man himself, Colin Kaepernick of the 49ers.
It wasn't a timing thing. It wasn't something that was planned. But I think the two presidential candidates that we currently have also represent the issue that we have in this country right now. I mean,
Hillary, who's a political genius. Oh, he's got a job already waiting for him at NBC. He could become a correspondent, a special correspondent. But I don't believe all of those in the NFL feel the way that this paperweight feels. Here's former NFL player Burgess Owens blasting Colin Paperweight for sitting during the national anthem in clip 11.
I think that America needs to, this is a wake-up call. This is more than the NFL. We're at a point in our country, the freest country in the history of mankind, where I can run for president, do anything I want to, and yet we've failed to teach our kids, our young people, anything about our history. They're ignorant about our country, and they're totally unappreciative of the freedoms that have been gained by people who paid the price for them.
You hear this? Now, look, this is not a race thing. Here are two African Americans with a totally different opinion. But he's saying basically that Colin Kaepernick is a fool, a dummy, an uneducated dolt. Listen to clip 12.
What this young man doesn't understand is the very first martyr for freedom in our country was a black man. He doesn't understand that the Tuskegee Airmen, who hundreds of them died over the skies of Germany, so he can sit and be free and be ignorant as he wants to be today. We are at a point now where this is not a, it's not a racial crisis we're at. We're at a point, I think, at this point is an ideology crisis. It's all about Marxism, atheism, and socialism versus a free American, the American way.
Boy, he's good. That's former NFL player Burgess Owens blasting Colin Kaepernick for sitting during the national anthem. So don't fall into the trap of saying, you know, all blacks are like this. That's absurd. I wanted to play something else for you to see here so you don't make it a racial issue. This is a social issue, not a racial issue. We have a psychopath in the White House who has fanned the flames of racism. That's right. A psychopath in the White House who has fanned the flames of racism. And then we have a psychopath, a power-mad woman, unlike any I have seen in my lifetime, who would like to pick up where he left off and finish us off with Amendments 1 through 8 down the tubes. Now, what about Bernie Sanders? Remember him? The Seltzer Man Cometh? Well, the Seltzer Man Cometh got a good run for his money. He showed us what the face of socialism looks like. A lot of people liked him. And he was smart enough to realize that he has got to capitalize on it so he doesn't die broke. He's got to die like a true communist, which is rich. All of the good communists, like Barbara Streisand, are very, very wealthy indeed, as they were in the Soviet Union. So here's old Bernie Sanders announcing a new nonprofit to carry forward his revolutionary vision in clip 24. Listen to this one.
So tonight I want to introduce you to a new independent nonprofit organization called
nonprofit.
Our Revolution, which is inspired by the historic Bernie 2016 presidential campaign. Over time, Our Revolution will involve hundreds of thousands of people. These are people who will be fighting at the grassroots level for changes in their local school boards, in their city councils, in their state legislatures, and in their representation in Washington.
Good. Well, we should fight back. That's what I do every day on this show. We fight back. We fight them. We fight these revolutionaries. We want to crush them. We want these revolutionaries pushed back where they came from. We don't want illegal aliens having more rights than American citizens. We don't want bums on welfare enjoying more comfort than our veterans some of whom are dying in the hospitals, veterans' hospitals, because Obama will not fund them properly. No, 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 we cannot put up with the scorched earth policy any longer. We have to fight back. And, of course, Sanders is a good thing for America because we see the vile nature of this man. Now, if you've forgotten some of the other race baiters and haters who started this movement against America, here's one of them. He is Al Sharpton, one of the worst people in American history, in my opinion, a man who has done nothing but fan hatred and capitalize on it. Here he is attacking Donald Trump in 22.
He's definitely, in my opinion, trying to talk to independent white voters some moderate Republicans that don't want to feel they're voting for a racist or a polarizer. I don't think he's talking to black voters at all. Why? Because if he was, he'd be saying, this is what I'm going to propose.
And turn him off. I can't listen to this con man. I just can't take him. I'm sorry. I can't listen to him. I wish I could even listen to him to do a parody. It's only because Barry has run America off the rails that this low-life bum was invited into the White House 30, 40, 50 times. You know, after Obama leaves, no matter who wins, they really do have to, I think they have to take the White House down to studs. I mean, if you realize that Al Sharpton's been in that White House many times and he's probably slept in the Lincoln bedroom, you follow the drift. My friends, I'm going to play something that's a little lighter for you. I haven't played it for 2 hours now. There's a new Obama movie out that's a joke. When I heard about coming out on December 14, we produced this. It's a movie called Southside With You that is so fraudulent in every word that I have to play it for you now on The Savage Nation.
In a time of unrest and revolution in the city of Chicago, something lay below the surface of two radical revolutionaries.
We were at a law firm together. I was a summer associate. She was already practicing law. And I had been sort of eyeing her for a while, but she was acting real professional.
Right. My assumption was this guy's got to be kind of weird.
Love.
He was cuter than I thought he'd be. Ugh. We clicked right away.
Barack Obama and Michelle Robinson, two radicals falling in love. In Southside With You.
We sat out on a curb on a summer day and had ice cream, and that's when I could kiss her.
It was a cool date, actually. We spent the whole day together.
One man, one woman, sharing a common goal. Transforming a great nation into a racially divided cesspool.
And then we went to see Do the Right Thing.
Spike Lee. Mm-hmm. It just come out.
Barack and Michelle. Communing over communism.
And that was another thing that drew me to Barack, was his work as a community organizer.
Oh!
Southside With You, a Hammer and Sickle production, now playing in a theater approved by the state, rated R for Radical Revolution.
Right, what's going on in the movies is astonishing. They put out a piece of garbage like this. Even in the Soviet era, they wouldn't produce this kind of dreck, you know, to support the government. The people would have laughed at it. I suppose the, quote, filmmaker who did this Obama movie could do one about the first time Bill and Hillary met and their first date, and I guess it would be something along the... I came up with a title earlier, but I've just changed it from Backside for You to something else. In other words, if they did a biopic on how Hillary and Bill first met in their first date, maybe the title should be something like Backsides for You or something like that, where she narrates it. And that would symbolize the entire presidency. Oh, well, just a passing thought. I know what you really want to talk about, which is this issue of this lying quarterback with his little political hissy fit. It has nothing to do with the First Amendment. It has to do with him basically insulting America. And you, the liberals, tolerating this, thinking that that is his right. We all know that you have the right to love or hate our nation as you wish. But you must remember, he is in public. And you have hundreds of thousands of people who have paid a lot of money to sit in those stands. And they don't have to put up with this kind of insult. They do not have to do that at all. So I would raise this question to you, because I haven't really raised it. What should the 49ers do to this character? Moreover, does the NFL owe you an apology? Do the advertisers who advertise on these big football games owe you an apology? It is a very sensitive question that needs to be discussed. and I think I'm going to discuss it all week. How is it, for example, that you never see or hear an auto ad on a radio show? Why do you never hear an ad for General Motors car or Chrysler or Ford on any conservative talk show? And yet you'll see these companies advertising freely on a football game when they're filled with haters like this. How come the ad agencies that represent Chrysler, Ford, FedEx, all these big companies have no problem throwing money at the NFL and their games on television when they're filled with hateful rhetoric like this coming out of some of the players? Why is there no boycott against the NFL? Because the ad agencies have the same philosophy. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Ask yourself this. I'm a car lover. Why have you never heard an ad on this show for a Dodge product, a Dodge Hellcat? Why is Dodge afraid to advertise on this show? I'm a car lover. They advertise on car shows. Why do you never hear a car ad? Because they're terrified of the left wing in the ad business. Did you know any of this? This is important. I think someone has to cover this topic of the boycotts that everyone in talk radio who is an American patriot has to face every day of their life going back many years because of the blacklist that has been put out by the ad agencies that run this country. Do you understand that? Why do they not boycott the NFL? Now, they say they boycott controversial shows. Okay, you have a right to do that. Then why don't you boycott the NFL? So that's not the answer. It's not that they boycott controversial shows. They boycott patriotic shows. Because if they really were true to their edict that they boycott controversial shows, why would they continue to advertise on the NFL? Why, for example, would they not drop the NFL as an advertiser? Think about that one. Think very carefully about the economic power of the consumer and of the ad agencies, and then get back to me on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, when I say to you certain things, you think that I'm just being inflammatory or provocative or alarmist in order to get your attention. Some of that may be true. So how would you categorize the following? White House celebrates bringing in 10,000th Syrian refugee ahead of schedule. Now, he has no right to bring in 10,000 Syrian refugees. He committed a crime. He violated his oath of office. He violated the Constitution. He went around Congress. He went around the American people. He's a criminal. Obama is the head of a gang. He is the head of a gang that does what he wants. He's celebrating bringing in the 10,000th Syrian refugee into the United States of America. Why are 98% of them Muslims? Why are 98% of them males? Now, you say, well, how do we know this is bad? Let me ask you something. If only 1% of these Muslim Syrian refugees that the head of the criminal gang, the Obama administration, brought into this country, if only 1% of 10,000 become terrorists, how many does that make? 100? Now, what if one of those 100 put a bomb in your daughter's schoolhouse? Or what if one of those 100 put a bomb in a shopping center where your grandmother is walking? Is that a price that is acceptable to you because you're a good liberal? The White House announced Monday that the 10,000th Syrian refugee will arrive in the U.S. this afternoon, a month ahead of schedule. Can you hear this? Today, I am pleased to announce that we will meet this goal more than a month ahead of schedule, said National Security Advisor Susan Rice, another war criminal in my opinion, another one who should be tried for crimes against the American people. Who gave them the power and authority to violate the Constitution and the Congress, who has the right to control immigration? Listen, it gets even uglier. Here's Susan Rice. On behalf of the president and his administration, not the American people, I extend the warmest of welcomes to each and every one of our Syrian arrivals. I'm nauseated by this. This is sickening. After the Syrian civil war is over, they should be deported to Syria, as well as to Somalia and all the other nations that are involved in a civil war. They should all be deported to their country of origin. And moreover, has anyone asked who these 10,000 are? Why did they leave Syria? Did they leave Syria because they were on a list? Because they're murderers? Did they leave Syria because they're mass murderers or rapists? Who are these people? Oh, they're all doctors and engineers. They're all going to go to Harvard. Did you know that the Criminal Administration will admit at least a total of 85,000 refugees in 2016? Do you know what countries they are coming from? My answer is simple. When Trump becomes president, start deportation proceedings against everyone who was admitted to this nation legally. No, illegally. Illegally over the last 8 years.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. We have gone from Pat Tillman to Colin Paperneck in just one administration. From Pat Tillman, remember him? The white football player who left a lucrative career in football to volunteer for the military and gave his life for freedom in Afghanistan, to Colin Paperneck of the so-called 49ers who refuses to stand during the national anthem. It is a major story. Not only the American Cultural Revolution that was started by outright communists and flared up by the radical president Barry Obama and his minions of American haters, and now seeping down to the football field itself. And you have to ask yourself, when will we stop buying into this victimization racket? The answer is when people refuse. The day you refuse to buy into this victimization racket is the day it ends. The day you say, you know what, shove it, I don't buy it. You hate the country, then leave the country. You don't like the country, tell me what country's better. Oh, that country's better, then go move there. Simple. That's all, but you can't do it. So we're going to talk about this football player, Colin Paperneck, and what he did. You'll find out that he was born to Heidi Russo, a 19-year-old Caucasian woman who was single and destitute at the time. His birth father was an African-American who he never met. And the mom, the wonderful mom of Colin, ditched him and put him up for adoption with Rick and Teresa Kaepernick, a white couple who had two children, a son Kyle and a daughter Devin. And they wanted a boy after having lost two other sons to heart defects. So Paperneck became the youngest of their three children. Paperneck was baptized Methodist, confirmed Lutheran, and attended a Baptist church. And here's the irony of this whole thing about this anti-American football player. Paperneck has multiple tattoos. His right arm features a scroll with the Bible verse Psalm 18:39 written on it. Tattooed under the scroll are praying hands with the phrase "To God the glory" written on them. To the left of both the scroll and praying hands is the word faith. His left arm features a Christian cross with the words "Heaven sent" on it, referring to Jesus. Well, you get the picture. The picture is how we've gone from Pat Tillman hero to Colin Paperneck in just one administration. And how the NFL thinks that the people are not going to react to this is not astonishing to me. The NFL doesn't have any idea what's coming. The 49ers themselves have no idea what's coming, that they would permit this to go on. The national anthem is and always has been a special part of games in this country. It is an opportunity to honor our country and reflect on the great liberties that we are afforded as its citizens. Moreover, it's a respect for the fallen soldiers who fought and died for our freedom. And to have a major league player, who by the way is on the skids in terms of his playing abilities, do this has set off a national controversy. He hates America, then why doesn't he leave America? And I want to play Colin Paperneck himself, who states why he would not stand during the national anthem. For those of you who don't follow sports, I don't follow most sports. I find them very boring. But it is a huge thing in America, obviously. Americans are sports crazy. So now you have a sports figure, Colin Paperneck, who wouldn't get up during the national anthem, and now listen to him in clip two justifying it.
I mean, ultimately, it's to bring awareness and make people, you know, realize what's really going on in this country. There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for, and something that needs to change. Something that, you know, this country stands for freedom, liberty, justice for all, and it's not happening for all right now.
Yeah, he's suffering, you know. I think he made $13 million last year. He's worth $100 million. A moron like him is worth $100 million. And he's screaming about freedom and justice and inequality. Don't you just love it? Now he goes into the big lie. As you know, there's a war against police, especially white police, triggered by the bum in the White House, triggered by the media, triggered by Eric, whatever his name is, Holder, and all the rest of them, the haters of police. So now listen to lie number two from Colin Paperneck in clip three.
There is police brutality.
Yeah.
People of color have
right
been
on.
Targeted by police. So that's a large part of it. And they're government officials. They're put in place by the government. So, you know, that's something that this country has to change. There's things we can do to, you know, hold them more accountable, make those standards higher.
How about holding moronic football players like you more accountable, liar? Liar. Paperneck a liar. So now he puts out the big lie put forward by the Black Lives Matter gangster movement. And he says people of color are being targeted by police. There comes a time, my friends, when good people have to stand up or bad people will rule over you. And that's exactly what is happening today in the United States of America. Now, it should not be lost on you that Colin Kaepernick has African heritage and he has some, let us say, confusion in his loyalties. He was raised a Christian. He was baptized Methodist, confirmed Lutheran, attended a Baptist church. He has multiple Christian-oriented tattoos on his body. And yet there's been a strange change in his behavior recently. The internet argues that he has converted to Islam. He's dating a Muslim woman. I don't know if any of that is true, nor does it matter. What matters is that a sports figure would dare to disrespect the American flag and the American people like this. And he says this is a racist nation that doesn't respect black people and other minorities. Well, let's talk about that for a minute. There was a book in 1997 that was entitled Out of America by a Washington Post journalist named Keith Richburg. I had him on the show when I was a local host at the time. And I'm going to read you some of his quotes about what he found when he went to Africa. Now, he is an African American, or a black African is what he would like to call himself. I don't know what he defines himself, a black American. I don't know how he defines himself. But he was uncomfortable with the phrase African Americans. In fact, in his book, he writes, I just wrote Black Americans, he said. I couldn't even bring myself to write African Americans. It's a phrase that for me still doesn't roll easily off the tongue or look natural on the screen of the computer terminal. Going from colored to black took some time to get used to. But now African American? He asks, is that what we really are? Is there anything African left in the descendants of those original slaves who made that long journey over? Are white Americans whose ancestors came here as long ago as the slaves did? Are they English Americans or Dutch Americans? Haven't the centuries erased all those connections so that we are now all simply called Americans? Now remember, this man's a fine journalist named Keith Richburg. His book was very, very well received at the time. It's been forgotten. I don't think it would be published today. I think people would be too afraid to publish this book. But I have the book, and I'm going to read it to those of you out there who are brainwashed fools, white, black, Asian, Hispanic. I want you to understand how brainwashed you have been by the communists in this country. And here it is. He says this. He went back to Africa to find his heritage as a journalist. And he said, if this is Africa, what does it mean to be an African American? He said, somewhere, sometime, maybe 400 years ago, an ancestor of mine, whose name I'll never know, was shackled in leg irons, kept in a dark pit, possibly at Gori Island off the coast of Senegal, and then put with thousands of other Africans into the crowded, filthy cargo hold of a ship for the long and treacherous journey across the Atlantic. Many of them died along the way of disease of hunger. He said, my ancestor survived, maybe because he was strong, maybe stubborn enough to want to live, or maybe just lucky. He was ripped away from his country and his family, forced into slavery somewhere in the Caribbean. Then one of his descendants somehow made it up to South Carolina. And one of those descendants, my father, made it to Detroit during the Second World War, and there I was born 36 years ago, he says. And if that original ancestor hadn't been forced to make that horrific voyage, I would not have been standing there that day on the Rusumo Falls Bridge, a journalist, a mere spectator, watching the bodies glide past me like river logs. No, I might have instead been one of them, or have met some similarly anonymous fate in any one of the countless ongoing civil wars or tribal clashes on this brutal continent. And then he writes, and so I thank God my ancestor made that voyage. Now, remember, this is written by an African-American journalist. I'm not changing one word. He goes on. He writes, does that sound shocking? Does it sound almost like a justification for the terrible crime of slavery? Does it sound like this black man has forgotten his African roots? Of course it does. All that and more. And that is precisely why I've tried to keep the emotion buried so deep for so long. But as I sit before the computer screen trying to sum up my time in Africa, I have decided I cannot lie to you, the reader. After 3 years traveling around this continent as a reporter for the Washington Post, I've become cynical, jaded. I have covered the famine and civil war in Somalia. I've seen a cholera epidemic in Zaire. I've seen trucks dumping the bodies into pits. I've interviewed evil warlords. I've encountered machete-wielding Hutu mass murderers. I've talked to a guy in a wig and a shower cap, smoking a joint and holding an AK-47 on a bridge just outside Monrovia. I've seen some cities in rubble because they had been bombed, and some cities in rubble because corrupt leaders had left them rot and decay. I've seen monumental greed and corruption, brutality, tyranny, and evil. He talks about his time in America when he lived in Detroit, that his family came up to work in the auto factories. And then he says there were actually two black Detroits while I was growing up, the East Side and the West. The dividing line was Woodward Avenue, our own version of Beirut's infamous Green Line. But the division was more psychological and geographic, centering mainly on black attitudes, the strange caste system in black America at the time, where you could place your roots in the South. Roughly put, the split was between South Carolina blacks on the west side and Alabama blacks on the east. These were, in a way, our tribes. Again, he is writing. I'm not editorializing. He says, well, he writes, it sounds strange even to me as I look back on it, but those divisions were very real to the black people living in Detroit when I was young, at a time when the city was transforming itself from predominantly white to predominantly black. It was drummed into me that South Carolina blacks, like my family, owned their homes and rarely rented. They had small patches of yard in the front and kept their fences mended. They came from Charleston, Anderson, Greenville, sometimes Columbia. They saved their money, went to church on Sunday, bought their kids new clothes at Easter and for the start of the school year. They kept their hair cut close. They ate turkey and ham and grits and sweet potato pie. They were well brought up and they expected their children to be the same. He said, don't cross Woodward Avenue, we were told, because those blacks over there came up from Alabama. They talked loudly, they drank heavily, and they cursed in public. They had darker skin and nappier hair, he writes. They didn't own homes, they rented, and they let the grass in the front run down to dirt, and their fences were all falling apart. They ate pig's feet, and often had more than a dozen relatives, all from Alabama, stacked up in a few small rooms. Then he uses a derogatory term that I cannot repeat. And then he says, the greatest insult was he ain't nothing. He just came up here from Alabama. And then he ends with something. He doesn't end with. It's a piece that I want to again quote. He said, you see, I just wrote the words black Americans. I couldn't even bring myself to write African Americans. It's a phrase that for me still doesn't roll easily off the tongue or look natural on the screen of the computer terminal. Going from color to black took some time to get used to. But now African American, is that what we really are? Is there anything African left in the descendants of those original slaves who made that long journey over? Are white Americans, whose ancestors came as long ago as the slaves did, English Americans or Dutch Americans? Haven't the centuries erased all those connections so that we all now simply Americans? So that's Keith Richburg, very respected journalist, in his book Out of America from 1997, where he went to Africa to discover his roots, and he was shocked at what he encountered. And now we come full circle, after we have had a president, two attorney generals who are of African origin, countless members of a certain background running the government at every level. Everywhere you turn in Hollywood, everywhere you turn in the media, the glorification of only a certain type of individual from a certain background, with the denigration of the white male, especially the heterosexual Christian white variety. And now we come full circle to a football player named Colin Kaepernick, who the other day refused to stand up for the national anthem and has set off a national dialogue and a national outrage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. We have only 3 minutes left, and a lot of people want to sound off on this issue of the football player Colin Kaepernick on both sides. Karach on KSFO, 30 seconds or less. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. So the true Jews, the Israelites, are the blacks, Hispanics, and Native Indians, according to the Bible.
Have a nice day. Don't know what he's mumbling about. All right. Tom on KSFO, Channel 4. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. This is not an issue of free speech, as they're trying to make it out in the media. The minute he arrives, Kaepernick arrives at that stadium and puts on a uniform, he is an employee. He's an employee of that team in the league. And what they're doing is they're framing it as free speech, when in reality, that's their way of sanctifying.
Yes, it is not a free speech issue whatsoever. He's speaking for the 49ers and the NFL. That's the story, and frankly, the fans have an obligation to let both the 49ers and the NFL know that. Tom, I am sending you scorched earth for being so insightful and brilliant. I would be remiss if I did not bring up the issue of Hillary Clinton's number one aide, Huma Abedin, and her husband, Anthony Weiner. Now, I don't want to make fun of the name Weiner for obvious reasons, but this guy is so sick. This husband of hers, now remember who she is. I wouldn't say it's a result of hanging around with Hillary Clinton. That would be stupid, or that it's catching from Bill Clinton. That would be absurd to say that. But Anthony Weiner, the husband of Huma Abedin, the Muslim assistant to the number one assistant to Hillary, is seen in the New York Post. You're not going to believe this. Laying in bed with his son, his infant son, with an erection, while sexting some woman he doesn't even know. I never saw anything like this. Weiner was an up-and-coming congressional star when he tied the knot with Abedin in a lavish ceremony officiated by former President Bill Clinton. But, as you may remember, he was thrown out of office, actually forced to leave in 2011, after it was shown that Weiner sent provocative pictures of himself to women he met through Twitter. That was bad enough. Then he said he went into rehab and he wouldn't make the same mistake, blah, blah, blah. So the horny lawmaker now is seen, I can't even read this on the air, exchanging pictures with a 40-something woman last year in underwear, and he's shirtless in bed, wearing underwear and having you-know-what, while his little boy lays next to him. Do you know how sick this is? Do you realize that this man should be arrested for child endangerment? Do you disagree with me? Any man who does this is a mental case, and that he's damaged this child forever. You think that son could ever be sane again? Could you imagine this boy going to school and what they're going to say to him as a result of his father doing a thing like this? Child abuse. They need to take the child away from that family. The mother working for Hillary unto itself is a problem. But it's not a crime. This is a problem and a crime. This is the Savage Nation. Good night.
Savage.